What is good? What is good? I am back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. So we're about to bring on a special guest. He's from Kansas, if I'm not mistaken. He just fought at BKFC Clearwater. Now, he didn't come out with a win, but he did come out with Fight Night honors. So let's bring on the one and only Matt the Silencer Guyman. Matt, how you doing, man?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you reaching out, man.
For sure, for sure.
So let me pull up these questions I got for you. I want to start here. So you had an MMA and some kickboxing experience. Can you tell us about that experience?
Say what? Well, I can hear. I'm going to go into the office. That way I can hear it. Give me a second.
All
right. Be a lot quieter in there.
Shut that door.
Yeah. All right. I can hear you a lot better now.
Okay. I was saying you had some MMA and some kickboxing experience. What can you tell us about that experience?
It was fun. I started my AMU career wanting some MMA. Did that a few times. Dropped my weight down. Went to 135. Yeah, I originally was going in for MMA.
So I was looking on YouTube for some old fights. I found one. It was you fought Jason Carson.
Yeah.
Now you remember that fight?
Yeah, that was the FAC.
Okay. So just watching the fight, it seemed like you were more of a striker than a grappler. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. Yeah. I started all this stuff when I was 28. I'm 36 now. So about 8 years in.
So being that you're more of a striker and not a grappler, do you think bare knuckle is more fitting for you?
100%. Yeah. Well, I love this sport. My stance is wide. I mean, y'all saw the weird stuff that I do, so yeah, it fits me.
Yeah, yeah. Why did you decide to transition into bare knuckle?
It was the grappling aspect. You could see a lot of the guys, you know, they've been wrestling since they're 5, 8 years old, you know, starting this stuff at 28. You know, I went pro in 2023. So that was 2 years ago. So 6 years into my stuff, you know, 6 years of training jiu-jitsu, that's not going to compare with, you know, 20 years plus of other people.
So you got your first bare knuckle fight set up. What's going through your mind?
I mean, pre-fight, before the night, you know, I was excited about it. You know, I trained with Dave Rickles. So I saw him with his fight, saw a couple other teammates and, you know, honestly, I got into bare knuckle when I saw the Perez Reber fight, and I was like, man, I feel like I can compete with these guys. You know, I'm not sitting here saying like never did it, saw him, and I was like, dude, I can blow through him. I mean, I wasn't like that, but I'm like, I feel like I can compete with him. And once I saw that fight, I was like, get me in, you know, find me a spot.
That was a really good fight too.
Yeah, yeah, him and dude, the Rickles Julian Land fight was dope. So I was like, I got to get in there and do that. And I mean, I went my first bare knuckle fight. I mean, I went into enemy territory there too. I mean, he was out in Lawrence, Kansas. The fight was literally in the parking lot of their gym. So, I was the underdog, you know, he was a boxer, grew up boxing. I believe his dad boxed. So he was supposed to go through me. And, yeah, that didn't happen.
So I was watching this other fight you had versus Maurice Jacobs. Was that your first bare knuckle fight?
Yeah, that was my first bare knuckle.
So, like, y'all were fighting in the octagon. How much different is it fighting in the octagon compared to the squared circle?
I haven't really found much of a difference when it comes to the bare knuckle. I mean, with the ropes being hard and in the ring, I mean, you're kind of bouncing off them almost like you're bouncing off a fence. It's just not as much fence there. I mean, the circle, I like the circle because there's no corners. You know, that's the bit of difference there. You know, an octagon doesn't have sharp, you know, angles and corners, but you know, that's what I like about the circle.
I've been told the square circle that the ropes are metal. Yep. Do you know if that's true or not?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, those things are hard.
Is that common in rings, or is that just the square circle is the only one that's got the metal ropes like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's just a circle. I mean, you can't get ropes to circle around like that. So to make them shape right, you just, you know, put the metal there and wrap around them, try to make them as soft as possible.
So since that fight, how do you feel like your fight game has evolved?
I mean, mostly mindset, honestly. Knowing that I can do it, you know, getting in there and, you know, everybody, you know, every dude's pretty much been in a little street fight, and whether it's in school or whatever it is, and you might get hit a couple times, but going in there and, you know, taking a shot to the face from a trained guy, I mean, that's really what did it for me. I mean, knowing that I can take that brunt force.
So you've done MMA, you've done jiu-jitsu. What is different about BKFC than all of those sports?
Man, it's the people that want to do it. I mean, you get the dogs of the dogs in there. People that just want to run through people. I mean, you're getting that mindset of just like gladiators, like warriors going in there.
And is the training any different from, like, say, boxing and bare knuckle? Because I see a lot of bare knuckle guys training with the gloves.
I train with the gloves. I do my technique with MMA gloves to get the smallest amount. That way, if I do touch my training partner, I'm not, you know, hitting him with a fist. But, I mean, you kind of got to use the gloves there. But you can't block like in boxing. I mean, you can't just put your hands up and expect, you know, two different paddings to protect your face.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really my style, is just don't get hit. I mean, I'm trying not to get hit as much as I can. I mean, obviously Reber got me. I mean, I'm going to get hit in a fight, and he got me a few times pretty good. You can't block everything, and you can't move out of the way of everything. You just gotta find that spot. Yeah.
What do you think has been like your biggest challenge as a fighter so far?
I mean, when it comes to training, I mean, I train my cardio, but cardio is the hardest thing for me to train. I mean, I was running 2-3 days a week for this fight, doing some sparring, you know, just gassing myself out in practice, dieting. I mean, the diets, the pre-fight, I mean, the fight itself, I train to do that. I do that every day. You know, the fight itself, it happens. I'm not going to sit there and, you know, over weeks, just pinpoint and focus on that and try to be nervous and anxious about that. I gotta get the skills down, the diet down, and those last 3 weeks are the toughest weeks.
Well, like, let's get into this Reber fight. So, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I liked your game plan at first.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like, though, it was a game plan that you needed to try to take him out as quick as possible.
Yeah,
because I felt like go ahead.
Yeah, I was shooting for, you know, I was shooting for, you know, round two, maybe early round three was my goal. You know, I found that opening in the first round and I teed off, but
I'm no expert, but, you know, I listen to Chris Lido a lot, what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
I was just watching. It felt like the further the rounds went, that Reber just kind of like just waited for you to tire out more. Do you think that kind of is what happened?
That's part of what happened. He got me with two decisive punches halfway through round two. I don't know if it was on the knockdown, kneel down, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's a knockdown. I don't know if it was that one or another punch got me in my left eye, and I couldn't see out of my left eye from mid round two until the end of round four. I mean, I was going my right eye the whole time. And that,
now
he was trying to catch me with his right hand, and not having my left eye is kind of tough.
Now, is this game plan you had, is that your typical game plan, or was this a specific Ryan Reber game plan?
I try to study my opponents as much as I can. We knew what he was going to do. He's a counter fighter. I like to counter fight, but, you know, I asked for this, you know, so I didn't want to go in there and be gun shy and just be like, well, you know, he asked for this and he's not going after him. You know, it's just, I gotta go and attack. I knew his game plan. You know, he said in his interview that what I said was exactly what he was wanting to do. And I really wanted to take it to him and really prove to myself that I belong here. I mean, I'll watch my opponents and I'll see what they do. You know, if there's somebody that wants to clinch, I'll work my clinch game and, you know, I'll try to pop out of the clinch and play my game. But I'm going to study my opponents as best I can. I got coaches and teammates that do the same thing.
Now, did you go back and watch this Reber fight after the fight?
I've watched it once. Me and my dad drove back from Florida to Kansas, so we took a week off and enjoyed that time. So I have watched it once.
There was a moment where you hit him with a like two or three piece and he kind of went it back and you could just tell he didn't know where he was at.
Yeah, there's a couple times I had him pretty sauce there for a second.
Do you think that was a moment where you probably could try to capitalize more?
Yeah. Like I said, that left eye thing, I believe the replay they did going into the fifth, when I caught him with that duck under left hook, I believe I wasn't seeing out of my left eye. So with him kind of stumbling to that side, you know, I didn't really see it quick enough.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, when I watched the replay today, I was like, oh, man, Reber didn't know where he was at. Like, you hit him really good, and he just had this look on his face like, where am I?
Dude, he's got a – I mean, I knew he had a chin, but, man, yeah. He's got a better chin than I thought he did. I mean, respect on that thing. I mean, I cracked him a few times pretty good. He's got a better chin than I expected.
So, y'all got fighter of the night, correct?
Yeah.
Even in a loss – what's the feeling of getting fighter tonight?
I put on a show. I mean, the fans loved it. You know, first and foremost, I don't want a boring fight.
Neither do I.
Yeah. And neither does Feldman. You know, if you're putting all your stuff into that fight and you put it all out there and you keep going forward, they're going to want to keep you around. And, you know, I this fight I don't consider, you know, a loss personally. On paper it's a loss, but this thing leveled me up. This fight leveled me up. I mean, my next guy's in for a lot more trouble. I mean, nobody expected this. Even with my loss, nobody expected this.
I think that's a very good way to look at it. I mean, because Ryan Reber has a lot of fights under his belt. You came in with what, two fights?
Yeah, two bare knuckle, one with the company, yeah.
I think you basically, if there was any doubters, I think you proved doubters wrong. I think people definitely noticed you're tough as nails. And it really makes for a great fight, I think, when it always goes five rounds. Sometimes these fights can be very, very lackluster and very boring. And I think if I'm David Feldman, I'm not going to want to give a guy too many fights if you always putting on lackluster fights or boring fights, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody loves a knockout, especially in this sport. Everybody loves the knockout. But when you got a five-round banger, you're out of your seat. You're on the edge of your seat. You're watching. I mean, you're on your toes. When I sat down after the fight was over, after that fifth round, in my head, I was like, I'm planning for a sixth. I started trying to catch my breath. I was like, I got 1 minute. You know, that's the way my head was. You know, I know he got me the other two of the judges had it, you know, more split than one of the judges, but you know, I was expecting a sixth just in case. And there was a couple of the corner guys, cut guys that were telling me that too. So I will die on my shield in there.
Were you shocked that you were able to get a co-main event fight this early?
Not in his hometown. I mean, I mean, if it was with somebody else getting a co-main event, I would have been more surprised. I went where he lives. I went in his hometown. That dude can sell tickets. That, you know, he said it. I'm not going to say word for word because I can't remember, but in one of his interviews, I mean, he straight said it. He's like, I got the co-main event because of him. I mean, hats off to that. You know, it, you know, I asked for the fight, you know, BKFC said, yeah. Hey, you know, let's go for it. And Reber accepted, you know, I mean, in my post after fight, I mean, I thank them both. I mean, for giving me this opportunity this early in my career. Absolutely. You know, I loved going in there. I mean, his fans, you know, right now, love his fans. You know, I knew what they were going to do. I knew how they're going to act. You know, I'm going into his territory, in his backyard, 5 minutes away from his house. You know, it's, I mean, his fans are going to be on his back. But, man, I got mad respect for them, and they were talking to me after, respecting me after. So, I had a blast.
And when they started cheering for him, I mean, because the whole crowd almost started cheering for him. Doesn't that make you kind of want to beat him even more when all the fans are cheering for him?
Man, I love enemy territory. I've been saying it the whole time. Yeah. All three of my bare knuckle fights have been enemy territory. And, you know, whether it's negative or positive, you're pulling the same energy. You know, whether it's my fans cheering for me or my opponent's fans cheering for him, I'm going to pull off that energy and, you know, yeah, I want to drop somebody in their hometown. You know, we all know a lot of fights, you know, in their hometown, they're going to be a little leaning towards that guy. And that just makes me have to prove myself even more. You know, I'm not going to say if that was in my hometown, I would have won. I won't say that with this fight. I mean, I looked at the stats yesterday and, you know, he beat me, you know, fair and square, he beat me. But, you know, like I said, that I learned a lot of that. Everybody learned a lot from that, and I'm building off of it.
And to be honest with you, he probably needed that win more than you did. Because
yeah.
One thing I realized about BKFC, when you get a title shot, getting that second title shot is going to be a tough road. And if you do get that second title shot, that might be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't win it that second time, that might be it.
It's quick. I mean, it's still fresh. It's still one of the newest sports. I mean, it's growing fastest growing one. You know, I like my weight class. You know, you got the 55 and plus, you know, their weight classes are pretty solid on who's top dogs. 125, 35, I still think it's growing. That gave me the opportunity to step into that 35. I mean, I'm not going to dog on all the top guys in 25, 35. I won't. I mean, they put their hard work in. But these are the two classes that it's like, you know, let's see what happens. Everybody don't pay much attention to the lower two classes.
So that's you fighting bantamweight, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really a good weight class to try to come up in. I mean, right now the guy to beat is Alberto Blas.
Yeah.
You got Justin Iberola, who probably should get the next title shot. But if he doesn't win, I mean, it's open game for almost anybody. Keith Richardson done lost twice.
Yeah.
Reber might get another shot. Chris Garcia just lost recently.
Mm-hmm. I think Reber and Iberola. You know, if I'm the matchmakers, you know, I'm putting Reber and Iberola up if Iberola will take the fight. And winner of that gets the shot to the title.
Gets the title shot again? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he thinks he's a champ right now. You know, he made his own little belt. You know, why won't he fight Blas? You know,
Justin Iberola. Made his own belt?
Yeah, he's calling himself the champ. And he made
What's
his own
belt. What's he call
belt.
His belt? What is it, the Joy Boy belt or something?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't pay attention to it. He just talks his talk. He talks way better than he fights, honestly.
Yeah, I think he's going to have his hands full if he fights Blas. If he fights Reber, you know.
He's got his hands full. He'll have his hands full with Blas, Reber. He's going to have his hands full with me. You know, what is it, Usmanov? Is that what his name is?
Yeah, I was just about, that's what I'm about to say. Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. He's going to come up too.
Yeah. I mean, beating Richardson, you know. Richardson's good. I mean, he's like me. He's getting up there in age. You know, but he still puts on a fight. You know, I respect that guy a ton. I mean, obviously he don't really know who I am, but
yeah,
you know, I like that dude. You know, when he was champ, you know, I like his style. I like how he fights. I like who he is. But yeah, there's a couple guys up there. You know, I think Iberola has his worst shot. You know, I don't want to say worst shot. His toughest fights with Reber or me, honestly.
Speaking of, you said something about age. Do you think there's an age cutoff for bare knuckle, like when you should probably stop fighting bare knuckle?
I'd say really it just depends how soon or late you got into combat sports. You know, I may be 36, but I got in this stuff at 28. You have all these guys that have been doing it since they were 16, 18, you know, boxing since they were a kid. You know, there's brain damage in combat sports.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really depends on when you get in here, how your body reacts to stuff, how you heal, what injuries you got. I mean, there's guys that can fight 42, 43, 44, and they're going strong. You know, but then you have other guys, you know, 38, 39, 37, that are just like, they got to get out. It's just, it's really up to you. You got one foot in, one foot out. You might as well take that second foot out.
36, though, still seems young for bare knuckle. Like you said, you got guys at 48. I mean, Wild Bill's mm-hmm. going to be fighting in Albuquerque. He's 48. Irishman's like 46.
Yeah.
I know you had, what's my man's name that I interviewed? Houston Alexander, before, you know, they kind of, I guess, kicked him out of bare knuckle. He was undefeated at 50 years old.
Yeah, that's wild. Like,
do you think now... Do you think if a guy's 50 and he's still undefeated, they should still let him fight, though, and not, like, try to?
I mean, they do medicals. I mean, I don't really know him. I haven't really been watching him, you know, just in a general concept of me looking at age of a fighter. And, you know, they do extra medicals on the older guys to make sure that, you know, their brain's okay to fight. You know, I don't know if that was a cause. I don't know if it was just him, you know, him get, you know, letting the company say, hey, that, you know, have the company have me pull instead of me dropping. I don't know who he is, so I'm not gonna, you know, talk negative on him, but that's just a general statement.
But I think what makes bare knuckle beautiful is that you don't the studies show that the effects long term are not what boxing is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going out there throwing 100% with my bare hands. You know, there may be a couple that I'm throwing hard when I feel like I know they're going to connect, but I'm not trying to go in there and break my hand in the first 30 seconds.
So a sport like boxing, way more
pinpoint on your punches, way more pinpoint in bare knuckle, because you don't want to hit that forehead if you don't have to.
So take a sport like boxing where footwork is really one of the top things. How important is footwork in bare knuckle?
With me, footwork's super important. I'm in and out, left and right, up and down.
Okay.
For me, that's one of my main things. Footwork, head movement. I think as a bare knuckle fighter, if you're not a clinch guy, footwork's one of the things you got to work on most. I mean, you got to try not to get hit. Any hit can make the fight stop. You get cut above the eye, even though you're not any more damaged, they can stop the fight.
And speaking of the clinch, how do you feel about the clinch? Are you a guy that likes to clinch as much as you can, or try to stay away from it?
It's not as fun. It's fun to watch sometimes if they can get those good hits in the clinch, but
yeah,
I like to move, you know. I've worked clinch stuff. I still work some clinch stuff. I'm not going to not work it, because I know people like to clinch. But if you try to clinch me, I'm going to break off. I don't want to be in there. You're not going to get fight of the night in a clinch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and bonuses
you
like
see
that.
Some fighters that clinch like crazy just to try to stop from getting hit and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Isaac Doolittle, he gets in real tight, and he's real good at it.
Yeah, so is Derek Perez. That's why he almost beat Reber.
Yeah. Yeah, that's – he was in the beginning of the fight, he was going hard. I mean, it just kind of swayed. It was him, and then, you know, Reber gets better as the fight goes. 4 and 5 are his best rounds if it makes it there, and he turns it up. That was a good fight. I
was just thinking about how you were fighting Reber. Do you felt like it was a little bit of Kai Stewart-ish?
I like it. I haven't watched him a ton, but yeah, he's one of the people in Bare Knuckle. There's two people in Bare Knuckle I'd say my stuff's closest to. And outside of clinch work, the outside stuff, I'd say Kai Stewart, somebody that were, you know, somewhat similar. And Johnny Cannoli, he does it way better. He don't get hit. But yeah, those are the two people's styles that I really like draw to in the sport when I compare myself.
So you studied Johnny Cannoli. I love him.
I haven't studied him. I've watched his fights and how he does his stuff, and I like watching the slow mos they get and how his head movement, and you know, he gets low too. I mean, I like that style. I mean he hasn't got cut yet, so I'll say he's perfected the style that I'm kind of trying to do. So
yeah, he's very entertaining, man, with them cannolis, yo.
Yeah.
What would you do if Johnny Cannoli like hit you with a cannoli like that at the weigh-in?
I mean, I probably just showered, so I'll probably wipe it off and eat it. Yeah, I love my food, dude. I went on a food tour after that fight. I went from Florida to the coast, all the way through New Orleans to Texas. I mean, I was on a food tour.
Is that how fighters usually do after they get done with a fight? Because since you got to keep your weight down, you can't eat but so much and so many things.
Yeah, I know that's what I do. I mean, I walk about 53 is about where I walk at. You know, I'll touch 55 sometimes, you know, I'll touch 51 sometimes. Okay. But once I get into my fight camp, I mean, the way I do my diets, my BKFC fight, my first one leading up to that one is really where I was like dialing in my nutrition. And then after that fight, you know, my hands were way worse off after that fight. I wasn't just bruised on the outside. My palms had bruises on them from that fight. I couldn't hit anything for like 2 months. So I started lifting, and when I was on a carnivore diet and I started lifting, my weight started flying up and I'm like, I got to stop. So yeah, I had to bring myself back down.
So you from Kansas, y'all got a lot of BKFC fighters out in Kansas. Is Kansas a really big fight state?
With the competition, with the guys fighting. Yeah, we got a lot of good fighters around Wichita area. We got a lot of good fighters in Kansas City area. I mean, UFC, you got Tim Elliott from Wichita. You know, I wrestled with him growing up. He was in my weight. He's the reason I wasn't varsity in wrestling. And then my coach, Cody Bittler, he was friends with Tim too. So we got that little trifecta right there that was from Hayesville, Kansas, just south of Wichita.
But, and what management team are you with as far as your fighting goes?
So we got Andrew at our gym. He helps out a ton of fighters. He does a lot of local stuff for like our Rickles EFC. People hit him up for the AMI stuff. He'll help out with the smoker fights. I mean, that dude knows people. I mean, from what I've done with my career and, you know, fighting somebody in the top rank, I really don't think I need to jump with somebody else for a management team. He does me just right.
I mean, I think they're doing a pretty good job. I mean, you got the Reber fight, co-main event. Yeah. And I don't know if y'all allowed to tell this, but are y'all allowed to tell how much y'all get on y'all's Fight of the Night bonuses?
I don't even know what the bonus is going to be.
Okay.
They gave me like a give or take type thing, but yeah, I don't know what it is. Shoot, I mean, just having that Fight of the Night, and if they gave me $100, I mean, I'm going to be happy. I mean, Fight of the Night's dope. Extra money's extra money. But, you know, if they want to send me $100, if they want to send me, you know, $20,000, I don't give a shit. I just appreciate the Fight of the Night, honestly.
So every fighter's goal is to win the belt. But do you have other aspirations and goals besides winning the belt?
Travel.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to go out of the country. You know, they got an Australia thing. They're trying to get they're getting together. That would be dope. You know, even going over to the UK, anywhere outside of the country, I would love that. You know, when I first got into combat sports, it was MMA, and I knew, you know, once my skills got a little better, being lower 30s, mid 30s, Dana wouldn't take me in the UFC, even if my skills were at that level, just because of my age. So my first goal in combat sports was just to be pro. I just want, even if that's on the local circuit, like my goal was, hey, look, I want to be a pro fighter. I want to be able to say I was a pro fighter. You know, after that, it's win a pro fight and let's just see where we can go from there. And once bare knuckle came around, I mean, the sky's the limit right now. I would be glad to walk into my gym and see a BKFC title belt on the wall with my name on it.
So I've interviewed a decent amount of fighters. And one thing I noticed is one of the biggest challenges for a fighter is making a living, man. How hard is it to make a living as a fighter?
I've made it work. You know, I was working at a phone company when I started fighting and, you know, their schedule's off. I wouldn't be able to make it to the gym a lot. And in order to make it to the gym, you know, I took a pretty big pay cut. Started working with my buddy at a dealership, you know, detailing our lot cars, started working at a club we have here in Wichita, doing some security on the weekends. And then I'm in the gym, you know, I'm in my gym 4 to 5 days a week and I'm, you know, at the YMCA running or swimming or something 1 or 2 days a week. So I am busy from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. And then Fridays and Saturdays, I'm busy from 9 a.m. until 3 a.m.
That's why I respect fighters so much. You know, I'm a musician as well. And you got a musician could start making music last week and they think the floodgates should open up for them to make money. And they don't really truly love it. But it seems like fighters, y'all got no choice but to love this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can't not love something you're going into and trying to, you know. The way I look at MMA, you're literally trying to go in there and murder somebody with a third guy in the octagon there to stop you from doing it. I mean, whether you're choking them, you're knocking them out, whatever it is, you're literally trying to murder somebody with somebody there to stop it. You know, it's the same thing in bare knuckle with hands. I mean, I'm not going in there to be nice. I mean,
you
know, let's just say somebody in Wichita that I grew up with, me and him are in the same weight class. When we step, if we get a fight lined up and we step into that ring, bro, I'm not your friend for 10 minutes, you know, it is what it is. And once somebody gets their hand raised, once that last bell rings, I mean, we're back to being friends, but in that 10 minutes, I'm trying to break your face.
Yeah. You're definitely not going in there to bake them scones and cookies and stuff.
No, no. I mean, it's
so
there's switches. You got to turn some switches on. You got to turn some switches off. I mean, I'm a different person when it comes to getting into a ring or into an octagon, whatever it is, the fights. I mean, I'm a totally different human in there.
So when your career is like all said and done, what do you want people to say about Matt Guymon?
Entertainment, you know, entertainment. Always wanted to watch him. Never missed his fights. You know, that's really what I want from the outside. The legacy, I guess you could say, is, you know, never had a boring fight. Always put all his heart in there, you know, never turn it off. Always put it on.
So I noticed in your bio, you like motorcycles. It says you're a Jeep fanatic. So do you do a lot of off-roading?
We don't got a lot of trails to off-road, like rock crawling and stuff around here. We got a little area here and there that we can go to. And yeah, it's part of the reason I got the Jeep. Got a lot of miles on it now, so I kind of tend to baby it a little bit. But when I got enough cash, like, oh, if it breaks, I got enough something, you know, to fix it, I'll go have some fun with it. And yeah, I mean, it's fun. I love taking the doors off. I mean, I don't know if y'all saw it when I was running around to get in the office, but I mean, that's what I was sitting in my garage out here. And I mean, I just love driving with the doors off. Motorcycles, love them. Don't got one right now. They're big issue with that happened when it got taken. But yeah, it's fun. I like all the outdoor stuff. Give me the heat. I hate the cold.
So you do a lot of motorcycling too? Are you part of a motorcycle club at all?
No. I don't really like riding around with a lot of other people. I've done that a couple times and they get wild and crazy and I'm like, yeah. I'll cruise by myself or ride around with my dad or, you know, some people that I know that aren't going to do some like super stupid stuff. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm the smartest. I don't want to say not the smartest, but you know, I don't make all the correct decisions on a bike that you'd prefer somebody to, but yeah, I don't have one currently. big issue with something with that, and it got taken from me. And but I want another one. So, you know, hey, if they want to give me a bike for Fight of the Night, I'm down with that too.
So you seen this trend that was going around about the 100 gorillas versus, one man versus a gorilla, 100 men versus a gorilla?
Yeah.
What do you think, man? Who you got on that one?
If I could choose the people, the men, for sure.
The men.
If it's just a random selection of men out there, that dude will blow through them. But you give us people like Hunt and Ngannou, you know, people like that, that can, I mean.
Yeah, so like 100 BKFC fighters versus a gorilla, he's toast.
Yeah, taking the fighters. A couple of them might have to, you know, we'll offer up a couple, but overall we'll get it.
You definitely go probably need Perdomo.
Yeah, yeah. There might be a couple people I'll choose to put in there to kind of take his attention away from us, but.
I agree with you, though. The 100 regular guys, I try to tell people, man, like, after he smashes a few of those guys, the rest of them guys is going to bitch up.
Mm-hmm.
Regular guys, they're not, they're not, you know, always tough. They're not so tough.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be wild.
So, BKFC versus UFC. Do you think BKFC could possibly get as big as UFC and maybe pass it?
I think so. It's growing so much. He's making so many deals this past year. I mean, just in the past year, it's just been on just this upstreak so fast. I mean, people are watching it. You know, I'm hearing about it, you know, from other people. It just, yeah, I think it could match it, you know, and be up there with it. I don't want to say competitor because it's a different sport. But as for like viewing competitiveness, I think they could make it up there.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, the BKFC Philly event was one of the biggest combat sports events of all time. I want to say it outdid any UFC actual event.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't looked at the numbers, so.
I think it was only maybe by 1,000 at most, but still, I mean, as young as BKFC is, you know.
Yeah,
do you think there's enough star power in BKFC to compete?
I think so. And they're pulling in big names here and there. A lot of people from the UFC has jumped over. Haven't seen anybody from BKFC jump over to UFC.
Nope.
So, I mean, you got people wanting to come over and do this sport. I mean, my first thought on this sport was, you know, kind of do it when you're on your way out of your fight career. Just because the superficial stuff, the scar tissue is where I was going at with that. Because you get cut too many times, you're going to be like a Nate Diaz. You walk into the octagon and you start bleeding. No disrespect, one of my favorite fighters, but I mean, the scar tissue's there. But if you can figure the game out, and you can have that head movement and, you know, keep yourself from getting those deep cuts, you could get into this stuff in your early 20s.
Yeah. That's the thing is interesting, you know, like you got guys that are coming in young, but I realize BKFC seems to be extending the shelf life of a lot of fighters. You got Austin Trout, retires from boxing, comes over, becomes a BKFC champ. I mean, I know even my guy, one of my favorites, Redneck Mandel, used to do MMA. Mike Perry, UFC. Marcus Edwards, UFC. Even Chris Lytle. I mean, he did a few bare knuckle fights early in the game and whatnot. And I thought he would have been a monster in bare knuckle, yo.
I mean, you got Julian Lane, too, man. He's one of the one of the OGs of bare knuckle. You know? But he did the MMA stuff, too. So, it's... That dude's awesome. Yeah, I talked to him after my fight. That dude's dope. I like him.
Yeah, I don't know that age really plays a part in bare knuckle. I mean, you got some guys that are successful at a young age, like Kai Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's too many people as successful in BKFC at a young age like Kai Stewart right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude, I've always liked him. A lot of people, like he says, dog him and stuff. And dude, I like him. I like his attitude. He's fun. You know, he's somebody I'd kick it with. I mean, it's yeah, that entertainment factor right there he's got. I like it.
Why do you think he's so hated, man? Is it just because he's a target? They want the belt?
Target, you know, the people in the weight class that are fighting in that weight class, yeah, they just want the belt. They want the opportunity. The people on the outside that are, you know, fans and stuff that are, you know, dogging him. It's just the outgoingness that he has, you know, his personality, you know, a lot of people don't like it, you know. It's the same thing with the McGregor. Either people like the shit talking or they don't, you know, one of the two. It's like, you don't need to do that, or they're like, that makes it more entertaining. Yeah, it's and
That
there's a
makes
lot of different
sense.
people like I do and don't. I liked McGregor's stuff when he was saying all this stuff. I liked it.
Yeah.
But you know, Cody Garbrandt, there was just something about him where like, dude, like I'd like to fight him, you know. I'd sure shit welcome him into BKFC if he wanted to do it. I mean, that'd be a blast. But yeah, it's I don't know why they don't hate him or why they hate him though. He's a fun guy. I mean, I haven't met him, but watching his podcast and watching who he is, and I like it.
No, it makes sense. I mean, he looks up to Conor McGregor, and whatever he win, I mean, I have to say he does get cockier and more arrogant. But at the same time, I know for a fact from inside sources that they wanted this guy to win long, I mean, lose long time ago.
He ain't doing it.
Like
Yeah,
that's the, and he ain't,
he has a
and that's
little, yeah.
the politics of the business that I don't like.
Yeah, I'm just glad bare knuckles and even MMA isn't as politicky as boxing. That was my thing. Is I just,
No, it's not as much. You're right. It's not as much.
yeah. I never got into the actual boxing because it's like it's too much politics. You know, you win two fights and you lose one, you're done. You know, it's just I don't like that. You know, you gotta pad your record and pad your record and pad your record until you got 20 fights to get anywhere with that sport. It's just you come into BKFC and you have one fight with them and you get a co-main event. You know, the opportunities are there, the possibilities are there. You know, I did what I did, I said what I said to get my name out there and you know have him know who I was, and I did just enough to get the fight. You know, I asked for the fight, and it happened. You know, I like I said, I'm glad he took the fight and they gave me that opportunity because I wasn't gonna stop. I want the top
So
dog.
you called Reber out ahead of
Yeah,
the fight?
in my interview after my first fight, I put his name on there saying I wanted to fight him. They were like, you know, he knows he's gonna have to go through a couple people and until he gets that opportunity. And you know, unfortunate for him, but fortunate for my opportunity that he lost that champ fight. That was my end to go for the fight. You know, I had a couple fights fall through, you know, in November. This one fell through in February, for some reasons. So, you know, but it happens how it happens. I'm trying to stay as ready as I can be. You know, I'll get all my food out of my system this week and I'll be back on a diet next week.
The fights that fell through, where were those at, and who were they against?
I can't remember who the name of the guy. There was one guy, it was supposed to be in California that we were trying to
Okay.
get going.
Was that Pachanga?
No, honestly, I have no idea who it was. It was a debut guy.
No, I'm talking about like, was it located
Oh,
at
oh,
Pachanga, California?
the Nova. It was
That.
November. That's all I remember.
Okay. I have to check that out later.
Yeah, there was a commission issue or something. I don't know. That was a few months ago. I get hit in the head a lot. So,
Are you
but,
typically into calling guys out by name?
yeah. I mean, I'll call what I want out. If I want to fight, I'll call it out. You know, I got somebody I want right now, and
And who's that?
I want the weakest link of the weakest link of the top ranked guys. I want Garcia. You know,
You
let's go. Give me
want
Garcia. You know,
Garcia?
I want
Oh
that
man,
spot. That's my
we
spot.
gotta make sure we clip this up. We gotta make sure
Yeah.
we clip this up.
Yeah. Yeah, give me that. I went after the top dog who I thought was the best at the top, and I went after Reber and I made and we made a hell of a fight. You know, I'm now I'm going after the weakest link. Give me that spot.
So you think Garcia is the weakest link of the ranked guys?
Yeah. Yeah, you look at the records of the people that they fought. I'm going after him. You know, Reba deserves the Iberola fight. You know, hands down. He deserves that fight. You know, I thought, you know, going into this fight with me and Reber, winner gets the number one spot, no matter who's there. It's not a, you know, whoever gets this gets to fight Iberola. It's whoever wins this fight gets to fight the number one ranked guy. You know, that's what I thought the winner of me and Reber's fight should get. You know, and
so
I think he deserves that.
I'm looking at Garcia's record right now. I mean, I'm looking at the guys he fought, man. I mean, no disrespect to you, Chris. I still want to interview you in the future, but I'm looking at the fights, man. I don't see nobody that was like really a worthy opponent, man.
Add up the wins and losses from his opponents, and that's why I want him. You know,
and he got beat by a nice guy. He got beat by a nice guy. That Armas cat, that dude is super nice.
Yeah. I'm not saying he can't fight. You know, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing. And, you know, he is where he is. He's ranked.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I respect everybody that'll get into that ring, but you know, I got to find my spot. I got to put my name out there and I want to be at the top. So I'm going after who I'm going after to get that opportunity.
And they probably definitely need to update this. I don't think Keith Richardson should be ranked over Reba right now. Not after two straight losses. Or no, one loss, the title. He lost the title and then came back and won, beat Larimore, and then he got beat again. I mean, lost two out of last three.
I don't know how they do their ranking stuff. I just see what's on there, and I go after who I want to go after. You know, and, you know, I asked for the Reber fight. They did that for me, gave me that opportunity. You know, I want Garcia. Give me that opportunity. Let's make it happen, and I will put on another show. Whether that's – I don't care what state it's in. It could be back in Florida. I'm down to go back to Florida. That was my first time in Florida, and I love that place.
Florida's always got the most, like, stacked cards. So those are always really good fights to get on. I mean, whether it's, you know, the Hollywood, Florida joint – I mean, this card was stacked, yo. I mean,
they could have. I mean, the event center just wasn't big enough, but they could have sold a ton more tickets if they had more room. Cool place. I mean, I liked the whole outside experience and stuff. I've had a few fights like that. My first bare knuckle fight was outside, in June, in Kansas. So that day, during the day, it was like 99 degrees, 98 degrees. Luckily, I had, you know, one of the later fights, so it wasn't that hot and it was dark.
Now, so you still got some bruises. I can't tell too much because you got a. How long does it usually take for you to heal up all those bruises?
It's healing up pretty quick, honestly. Stitches are all out. Took those out Saturday. You know, this is the most damage I've ever taken in a fight.
Okay.
But I mean, it's healing up good. You know, my dad drove the first couple days on the trip. You know, I wasn't going to get behind the wheel if I had a little blur every once in a while. But yeah, I'm back in the gym. I'm not getting hit in the face, but I'm back in the gym. I can't punch the bag, you know, with my right hand yet. I'm not going to hit with my right hand hard yet. I can no glove, my left hand. I can jab the bag as hard as I can. But I can hold pads. We got Kayla Williams fighting on the global card here in June in Wichita I'm bad with names. But yeah, we got a big boxing card here in Wichita in June. She's fighting on, I was holding pads for her last night. And then the night before I was helping coach, you know, I even threw on the shin guards Monday night if people needed some leg work.
So how soon are you going to be looking to try to fight? I mean, they got Sturgis in August. You think you could possibly be ready for that?
I think I could be ready by August. September probably is a little smarter.
Okay.
But I think I could be ready by August 2nd. That gives me some healing time. That gives me some summer to enjoy. Lets me enjoy the 4th of July, that one day in camp where I'm just like, all right, this is the one day in camp. I'm going to let it go and do whatever I want. And then right back on it. So I could be ready as early as August 2nd. September's fine too. I don't want a 9-month hiatus like this last one. I want to get in there and get a little turnaround.
And it does seem hard to get fights at BKFC. Like 9-month hiatus is a long time to be out. Like, yeah. Typically, how many fights would you like to fight per year?
3 or 4, just because I don't got, you know, I don't got a decade left in me probably. So, you know, I'd like 3 to 4 a year if I'm healthy enough. You know, 3 is probably the golden number right there.
Yeah, 3 seems like a good. I mean, because even at 4, that means you got to be ready every 3 months.
Yeah, I'd say 4 if it's like an early January fight, you know. If I get like on a card where it's like January 6th or something like that, you know, then there's that possibility of that 4th one later on in the year. But, yeah, 3 is that number. You know, I get one here. If they get me in September, I'd be ready by end of December, mid-January.
So, do you watch the fight cards when you're not in them?
I try to. Like Fridays and Saturdays, I'm doing security at a club. I got like 1,500 okay. people in there. So, I do catch some fights. I don't get to watch all the fights. I do watch some of them back. But yeah, I'm working that pretty much third job there. So
you do security. What's the, is somebody trying to test you yet at the security job?
Not really. So we got a lot of, regulars in there that know who I am because we talk to them a lot. We try to make, you know, good face with everybody. So we got a lot of friends that come in yeah. and know us. I mean, our security staff is solid. So nobody really tries to test us much. They just all run their mouth. But man, the videos I was getting sent from the Clearwater fights. So they had, before the fight, my GM there was awesome. You know, I sent him the poster and stuff like that, and he was putting my fight stuff up on the TVs before the fight.
That's what's
up. The night of the fight, they had their VIP room rented out. Fight was on in there. It was on the outside patio on each side of the bar. And when the fight came on, I was told once it started, people just stopped. It's a country club. And once it started fighting, man, everybody just stopped dancing and went to the TVs and was yelling and screaming.
Oh shit.
That's an awesome feeling when you got all those people that are just, you know, have your back like that.
Yeah, that's definitely dope right there, man. What advice would you give a newcomer trying to get into bare knuckle?
If you're going to do bare knuckle, have heart, you know, make sure you're tested. You know, get a good test fight before you try to, you know, specifically BKFC. They're wanting people with, you know, a bare knuckle fight outside of the organization mostly now, but definitely get tested first. You know, my AMI, once I went pro, my last AMI fights, I was looking for the best of the best before I went pro. I mean, I my last couple fights, my AMI fights are losses, but those were against people that could have been pros. You said Carson fight. That was my B2 fight. The guy that I had in FAC, it was his first fight, but he was a collegiate wrestler. Though it was his first fight, that's a tough guy to go against. You know, and I knew he was going to be good, even though we hadn't had a fight yet. You know, he was training up there at Glory with them. So I knew he was doing pro trainings and stuff up there. So, yeah, I go after the best of the best for sure before you go pro. That way you don't have that major level jump once you go pro.
Somebody comment, do you got an Apple Spotify show?
Me, no.
Oh, okay. They must have. I don't know why they said that. They said, Matt, you have an Apple Spotify show. I don't know what that means. We about to hit this hour mark. Before I let you go, is any shout outs you want to do? Any sponsors or your teammates or anything?
I mean, I'll shout out my gym, you know, 316 Martial Arts here. We got Dave, the Caveman Rickles, and Cody Bittler as coaches. Okay. They know what they're talking about. We got killers in the gym. I mean, all the way from pro levels to, you know, 6-year-olds in the gym. I was helping out with the kids' classes yesterday. We got Zoe Carter. He needs to get to the UFC. His name needs to be out there. We got Tyrell, Terrell. Those two are going pro here soon. I mean, I got killers at the gym I'm training with. You know, another shout out would probably be my dad, biggest fan, makes it to all my fights. So yeah, it's fun having him there.
And do you want to call out Mr. Garcia one more time? Okay. Try to get that fight.
Yeah, I want that number four spot. I mean, they do their weird rankings of champ 2, 3, 4, 5, but we know it's champ 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know.
Yeah, and
I want that spot, you know. What, September, Garcia, I'm down. Let's throw hands.
Well, we definitely going to make sure we try to tag that up, make sure we tag Chris Garcia and BKFC in it, and hopefully we could try to help make that happen, man.
Yeah, that'd be dope. That's, you know. I put on for my last fight that I wanted. I'll put on for this one too.
Yeah, I appreciate you actually, you know, hit me up, man. So I want to shout you out and whatnot. Yeah. Makes me feel good when fighters hit me up, because makes me feel like you know, I'm working hard on my end. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Doing what I do, and I'm all about the fighters. You know, like, I can be critical of BKFC here and there, so that's why, like, I'm just pro fighter, guys. All about the fighters for me, man. You know, getting on here telling your story, and I just respect y'all so much, because, you know, y'all put so much time and energy and love into this sport, and, you know, it's a tough thing to try to make a living in, so you got to respect that, man.
I'm busy, like I said, I'm busy day in and day out. My friends are always hitting me up to hang out, and I'm just like, dude, I'm at the gym. I'm going to the gym. I'm not going to skip the gym to, you know, go to Topgolf with you on a Wednesday night. You know, I mean, hit me up on a Sunday. That's my day off. You know, that's my relaxed day. And I wake up and figure out what I want to do. So.
Do you even Topgolf? You don't look like a guy who would Topgolf.
Oh, yeah. I'll go hit golf balls, man. I went to Topgolf the Sunday before the fight. Just, you know, relaxing. You know, it's fight week. You ain't going to learn nothing new. Let's just enjoy what I got left. Me and my buddy went to Topgolf, and I got to hit some golf balls and watch him get drunk and try to hit golf balls. So,
well, I appreciate you taking the time out. Appreciate you hitting me up. You're more than welcome back on the show. You a friend of the show now. So anything you post, you know, on social media, I'm going to make sure I give it the like, the comment, all that good stuff, you know, and you want to come back on when you get your next fight. I mean, please do. Just hit me up and we'll make it work.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
All right, man. You take it easy, man.
You too. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching.
All right. Peace.
Later.
Well, there you have it. Matt, the silencer, Guyman. Just fought Ryan Reber, BKFC Clearwater, which was a very, very stacked card. And he was literally got fighting tonight. You know, he's 2-1 right now. Looking to fight Chris Garcia. That'd be an interesting fight. Garcia's coming off a loss, so he definitely needs to get some momentum back and try to get another win under his belt. But I'd definitely like to see that. Matt Guyman, Chris Garcia. I think he would give Chris Garcia a run for his money, especially just the way he kept coming at Reber and whatnot. And hopefully he'll get a fight here. Like he said, he should be ready August, September. Make sure y'all go follow him on Instagram. And I appreciate everybody tuning in. We go live on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. And we also will upload it to millions.co, rumble.com. The audio version will be downloaded later. That'll go to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. Don't forget, you got June 6th, BKFC 75 Albuquerque. Actually, my favorite guy, Redneck Mundell, will be fighting Sanchez. Donald Sanchez, that'll be a very, very interesting one. And you got a lot of other interesting ones on here, too. You got Eric Dotson, Steven Morrison, Perez versus Rick Caruso is going to be a nice one, I think. Of course, go check out the interview I did with Wild Bill William Albrecht, and he'll be fighting Kyle McElroy and a bunch of more fights as well. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast. One of the fastest growing bare knuckle podcasts on the planet, in my opinion. If I'm not, prove me wrong. But make sure y'all tune in and for another episode. Peace, and I'm out.